Hi, everybody out there. Welcome to another edition of the Fifth Quarter Podcast, the College Football Podcast. I'm your host, John Shomo. On this edition, we will preview Monday night's national championship game from Atlanta, featuring the Notre Dame Fighting Irish and the Ohio State University Buckeyes. First, though, I want to review with you, if you remember, at the beginning of the season, we set up or at the beginning of bowl season, if you will, we set up a podcast bowl contest on the ESPN site, Capital One Bowl Mania. Right now, Jeff Cole has a one-game lead in the contest. His picks have gone 32-14. Chad Feldman and myself are 31-15. Dave Kelsey and Brian Knepp are 30-16. Unfortunately, as of this recording, Jeff does not remember who he picked for the national championship game. If he picked Ohio State, then he is the winner of the Fifth Quarter Podcast Bowl Contest. If not, Chad and myself, if Chad picked Ohio State, would tie him for the lead. We'll let you know on our final podcast of the season following the championship game next week. Okay, Jeff, by the way, his picks right now at 32-14 are in the 99th percentile of all entrants worldwide. That's really astonishing. Mine, I'm stuck at 97.7th percentile. So hats off so far there, and we'll see the finish here on Monday night. Now, before I run down the history of the series between the Ohio State Buckeyes and the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, I had one comment. The first thing I wrote down when I started to prep for this episode is that the starting quarterbacks in the national championship game 1 year ago were playing for Duke and Kansas State. That's right. Riley Leonard was quarterbacking the Duke Blue Devils. He got hurt partway during the season and didn't finish the season. And Will Howard quarterbacked the Kansas State Wildcats. How about that for amazing? They're welcome to the era of the transfer portal, right? Okay, let's run down, before we get to a preview of the game on Monday night, let's run down the series history between Ohio State and Notre Dame. They have played only 8 times. You might be surprised at that number. With Ohio State leading the series 6-2, they've won the last 6 games. They have had 3 sets of home and homes and 2 Fiesta Bowl matchups. It's the only bowl game they've ever faced each other in, and it was twice within a 10-year span. The first 2 meetings happened during Franklin D. Roosevelt's first term in office. The Fighting Irish made a big fourth quarter comeback at Columbus in October of 1935 and pulled out an 18-13 win that many sports writers at the time called the game of the century. The following year, they met in South Bend. Not too many people write about that, when Notre Dame won a slugfest 7-2 in 1936. Then it would be almost 60 years before they met on a football field again. What are the reasons for that? Obviously, we'll never know for sure. I've always heard that Woody Hayes thought that playing them was a no-win situation for Ohio State. Woody was always mad when Notre Dame would recruit a guy out of the Cincinnati Catholic League, for instance, and they just never played each other. That's just the way it was. They would get together again in the mid-1990s. In 1995 at Columbus, eventual Heisman Trophy winner that year, Eddie George, powered Ohio State to a 45-26 win. The following year at South Bend, Pepe Pearson rushed 29 times for 179 yards and 2 touchdowns as Ohio State won on the road 29-16. Following that, the next 2 meetings between these 2 programs came in Arizona at the Fiesta Bowl. On January 2nd, 2006, following the 2005 season, Ted Ginn Jr. and Troy Smith outdueled Brady Quinn's Irish 34-20. The clinching touchdown, by the way, in that game came late with a minute 46 to go on a 60-yard touchdown run by Akron native Antonio Pittman. Those of you who remember Akron football will remember Antonio Pittman in high school. The next time they played, was 10 years later at the Fiesta Bowl following the 2015 season. Ezekiel Elliott, in his final game, that great senior class they had, or junior class that was going pro, if you will, Zeke rushed for 149 yards and 4 touchdowns that afternoon to lead Ohio State to a 44-28 win. That would be on January 1st of 2016. Then we had a recent home-and-home series, if you may recall, as you may recall, between the Buckeyes and the Irish. That took place 2022 and 2023 in those regular seasons. In the 2022 game at Columbus, it was the opener for both teams, and Ohio State really had to grind out a 21-10 home win with touchdowns from Emeka Egbuka, who's still there, Xavier Johnson, the team captain that year, and Mayan Williams. In 2023, just last season, they met in South Bend late September. Akron native Chip Traynham plunged over from the one-yard line with 1 second to play to give the Buckeyes a 17-14 win. And as you'll recall in the post-game interview immediately afterwards on the field, Ryan Day just took off on Lou Holtz. Lou shot back a little bit this week, but who cares? He's 88 now. So that's the series. It's all in those eight games. Ohio State has won the last six. They lead 6-2 in the all-time series against Notre Dame. To more directly, the game on Monday night. It seems to be that there's a real possibility this game could be decided by the running games. Jeremiah Love at Notre Dame has rebounded from a knee injury. He is wearing a brace still on his left knee. In the playoff, he had won his first touch. He ran 98 yards for a touchdown against Indiana, if you'll recall. Since then, he's been 23 rushes for 75 yards and a touchdown. He scored a touchdown, a very tough run near the goal line against Penn State in the Orange Bowl. 23 for 75. They're using him sparingly, probably due to the injury, but he's their number one guy back there. By contrast, Ohio State's two-headed monster at running back, we'll call that that position Quinvion Hendrickens, if you will, 60 rushes for 371 yards and 8 touchdowns during the playoff. So our two running backs are, I'm an Ohio State fan, have really put up a lot of production here in the playoff. Let's not forget in the running game for Notre Dame, quarterback Riley Leonard. He has 43 rushes for 147 yards just in the three playoff games. They run him a lot. If they're in a third and short situation, it's really likely that he's going to run the ball. They put an extra blocker in there, right? The Ohio State must keep him bottled up in those third and two, third and three situations because that's obviously what they like to do. They've rushed him 43 times in three playoff games. Now, couple of other things that about the matchup here before we get into a little more history. Notre Dame likes to run man coverage in their defensive secondary. They've said they're still going to run mostly man coverage in the game Monday night. That seems risky against the Ohio State wide receiver core. Notre Dame's pass defense is number two in the nation. Number one was Texas. Their schedule, though, I will say this. Their schedule was light, very light, on teams with good passing attacks. For instance, they played in the regular season Army, who rarely throws the ball at all, Navy, who sparingly throws the ball, Florida State, who was just bad, Stanford, who was just bad, Georgia Tech, who runs the ball a lot, and Virginia, who was pretty much just bad. Against Southern California, for instance, in the final game of the regular season for Notre Dame out in the Coliseum, Southern Cal put up 35 points and threw the ball 27 for 49 for 360 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 2 picks. The picks went for touchdowns. One of them was a 100-yard pick six by the Irish. They put up 557 yards total on Notre Dame, 197 rushing on 28 attempts. So Southern Cal, who was a decent offense, put up big numbers when they played the Irish at the end of the regular season. So it is doable. Another thing about this game, Ohio State's 134th last in the country in opponents' penalties. In other words, referees just do not call penalties on the opponents of the Ohio State Buckeyes. Their opponents have not been called for one offensive holding penalty all season. Seems impossible, but that's what's happened. Now, I will say this. The officiating crew for the championship game is from the SEC. It's reportedly the same crew that worked the Penn State-Boise State playoff game. In that game, there were 19 flags thrown, 10 against one of the teams and 9 against the other. I don't remember which. So is it possible that before we end this football season, an Ohio State opponent will actually be called for holding against that defensive line? Last chance on Monday night for that to happen. All right, moving to the history of these two programs, two of the most storied programs in college football history, obviously. National championships won. One of these teams is going to win the national championship Monday night. If it's Notre Dame, it would be their 12th. They won national championships in 1924, 1929, and 1930 under Newt Rockne. 1943, 1946, 47, and 49. 1966 under Akron native Ara Parseghian, who won another in 1973 as the head coach. 1977 under Dan Devine. And 1988, Lou Holtz's national championship where they beat West Virginia, pardon me, in the Fiesta Bowl to win the national championship. Ohio State claims 8 national championships. The first one in 1942 with Paul Brown as their head coach. Woody Hayes' teams won in 1954, 1957, 1961, 1968, and in 1970. That 1970 championship was the last one recognized by the National Football Foundation. They granted Ohio State that national championship. Jim Tressel's Buckeyes won very famously in double overtime against Miami in 2002. And Urban Meyer, who just was revealed he will be going into the College Football Hall of Fame this year. Urban Meyer's Buckeyes won the first college football playoff in 2014, beating Oregon for the national championship game. A Buckeye win, by the way, would give the Big Ten back-to-back national championships for the first time since 1942. Minnesota, the Golden Gophers, won back-to-back championships in 1940 and 41, and then the aforementioned Paul Brown Ohio State Buckeye team won in 1942. It's been that long since the Big Ten had back-to-back national championship teams. So if the Buckeyes accomplish that on Monday night, the conference will probably, I would say, crow a little bit and probably have a right to. All right, before we get to our question, the answer to our question from last week, we got a response for that. I want to go over that with you at the end here. It's prediction time, as usual. We make our predictions every week. Down to one game, we are 41-31-1 for the season. That's pretty good. It's not quite up to Joel Klatt's standards. I heard he was 58-33 picking against the spread this year. That's outstanding. All right. Ohio State is an 8.5-point favorite. It's down from 9.5 when the game was announced, if you will. 8.5-point favorite over Notre Dame. Do I think they can win by 10? Yeah, I do. So I'm going to stick with them. We'll pick the Buckeyes, giving Notre Dame 8.5 points in the national championship game. Hopefully that comes true, and we wrap up a pretty good prediction season with a win in the championship. All right. The question that we asked last week on the podcast was as follows. How do you like, what do you feel about the 12-team format now that we've seen it for the first time? And I'm paraphrasing the question. I don't have it written down in front of me. The answer we got was the answer from Jeff Cole. He said, I like the 12-team format, but would tweak the seedings. Use the same format to determine the 12 teams, but use the ranking by committee to determine their bracket positions. I like that theory. Unfortunately, since Jeff answered the question, we've heard from the committee that next year, following the 2025 regular season, they're going to use the exact same format that they used this year. The change would come in 2026 for the third year of the 12-team playoff. They could change it to 14. They could change it to 16. But that it won't change in 2025. Now, let's remember, back to what Jeff answered, Ohio State was the 6th-ranked team in the final committee rankings, yet they got the 8 seed because of the rule that the top 4 conference champions get a first-round bye. This year, 2 of those went to 9th-ranked Boise State and 12th-ranked Arizona State, champions of the Mountain West and the Big 12, respectively. So that slid teams like Notre Dame, who was ranked 5th, and Ohio State, who was ranked 6th, down a couple of slots. Ohio State had the 8 seed, if you recall, in the bracket, and Notre Dame was 7th seed. That same exact format will be used in the 2025 season. After that, all bets are off. They could make a bunch of changes. We'll give some thoughts on our post-championship game podcast about where the playoffs going after the 2025 season, because they're going nowhere next year. But a little hint here, I believe that the conference championship games may be an endangered species. I think there's some momentum building for getting rid of those, since the committee seemed not to really take them into consideration very much, other than awarding, you know, buys to conference champions. You could have a situation where you just take the regular season conference champion and make that the team that gets the bye. We'll talk more about that on our final podcast of the 2024 college football season, which will be following sometime next week, following the Monday night national championship game in Atlanta. That'll do it for us for this episode. I'm going to settle back now this afternoon and tomorrow and watch some NFL playoff action. And then we'll have the championship game on Monday night. Everybody in this part of the country and most of the country, please stay warm the next 2 or 3 days. It's going to be awfully cold. Make sure your heaters are working, etc. I'm John Shomo. This is our college football podcast, the fifth quarter. Thanks for listening. Go Bucks. Have a good weekend, and we'll talk to you on the other side of the championship game.